Begin the current daf pesach. This yuma about daf peidal. We begin on the bottom of pegimel beis, three lines up from the bottom of yamid. The gemara continues discussing the previous mishnah. That is, the mishnah told us certain exceptions of that one is allowed to eat when it's forbidden because of danger to one's life. So one of the cases the mishnah mentioned was mishnah shachei kelav shayta b'chula, regarding someone that a mad dog bit him. That we had a machlekes, although one is allowed to do things to save the person's life. However, it was a machlekes regarding if you're allowed to eat from the liver lobe of the mad dog itself. That was depending, as we explained the Mishnah, regarding if it's considered a scientifically proven therapeutic healing process, which is that although doctors do it, there was a machlekes in the Mishnah regarding if that's considered a valid refuah to allow one to eat from a non-kosher animal on top. Now, related to that, the Gemara brings Torah b'Ilan d'Braisa. There are five symptoms that can define for us what is considered a mad dog, which obviously has its relationships regarding the halacha lamaisa, regarding now that one knows that he's in danger of life because a mad dog bit him, what to go ahead and do that, which in our Mishnah we spoke about one component, which was machlekes, if you're allowed to eat from the liver lobe of that mad dog itself. However, what are the five signs that it's a mad dog? One is piv pesuach, its mouth is open. Veriri naitif, its saliva is dripping. Vazna sruches, the ears get bigger and they hang down. Uznave munach al yarchesav, and the tail is just laying there on its thigh, on its leg. Umahalach betzid drachim, and it walks on the side of the roads. V'yesham, and there are those that say that af neveach v'en kali nishma, it barks, but its voice is not heard. Now the Gemara asks me, mayhav, what does this come from that the dog becomes a mad dog? So Rav Amar says, Noshim kashvonius misachkes by, it's when these women that practice their witchcraft, they play around with the dog to show that, like just for games, to have fun, that's how these dogs become mad dogs. Shmuel Amar, he says, Ruach roshay lavnei, it's when there's an evil spirit that's resting on the dog, that's what creates the dogs into becoming these mad dogs. Now, my benai, what's the halachic ramifications? So Ikki benai, the difference between them is, as the Gemara continues on the top of Pedalim and Aleph, is lamiktele b'davah hanizrik. If that the only way you should kill him is by throwing something at him, and that is according to Shmuel, who said that it's that there's a ruach ra that's resting on the dog, so you shouldn't come too close to kill it with your own hands. Rather, you should throw something, either an arrow or a knife, to kill it, because if you come too close, that ruach ra might actually come onto the person who's killing that dog. As the Gemara says, Tanik Avav Seder Shmuel, we learned the Braisa like Shmuel, which says, Kishahargenaisa, when you're killing the mad dog because you want to get rid of such a hazard to people, Ein Hargenaisa Elabedeva Hanizrak. You shouldn't kill it only with something that you throw it, in other words, from a distance, that you shouldn't get too close because of the Ruach Ra. Now, the Chayif Bey, if someone does rub up against this mad dog, then Mistaken, he's in danger of his life, as we said, because of the Ruach Ra. If the dog bites him, then mayis, then he dies. Now, the Gemara asks, the chayif be mistaken, we said that if the dog rubs up against a person, this mad dog, then he's in danger, so maitakanti, what should he remedy this? What should he do if this does happen? So the Gemara tells us, nishlach mani, he should take off his clothing, and he should throw it in front of the mad dog, v'nirhat, and he should run away. Now, the Gemara actually brings the Rav Huna b'Rid of Yeshua, chof pechad menayu b'shuk. One time in the marketplace, one of these mad dogs rubbed up against him. Shachinu l'man evarad, he threw off his clothing and he threw it in front of the dog and he ran away. And Omar, he said, ki yamti ba'atzmi, I fulfilled regarding myself, the pasuk in Kehelet that says, hachachma techaya ba'aleha, that the wisdom will keep its owner, the owner of the wisdom will keep its owner alive. And that's because I knew of this halacha, I was able to do this to stay alive, even though I rubbed up against the mad dog. Now, the nachis le'mais, we said that if the mad dog bites him, then he dies. So, the Gemara says, maitakante, what should one do to remedy this situation if the dog bites him? So, Abaya says, naisi mashcha di apa dichra, he should bring the skin of a male polecat, and he should write on that skin, Ano planya bar planisa, me the son of that woman, Amashcha di api dichra kesivnalach, on the skin of the male polecat, I'm writing to you these words, Kanti kanti klirus. Vamrilan, some say he writes, Kandi kandi klirus, ka ka Hashem tzavakis, amen amen sela. Then, v'nashlechinu lamani, he should take off his clothing. Like Verinu be Kivri atres yachishate, he should bury it for 12 months. Vinafkinu vinaklinu betenu, then they should take it out and then they should burn it in the oven. Then vinevderinu lekit me aprashadrachim, then they should disperse the ashes of these clothing that were buried for 12 months that he just burned on the prashadrachim by where the road splits. Now, v'hanach treisa yachir shati. Now, for those 12 months when his clothing are buried, kishasi mayu, when he drinks water, la'ilishti ela b'guvsa d'nechasha, he should only drink like from a copper straw. And dilma chazi b'vua d'shed, and the reason is because he might see the reflection of this demon which jumped from the dog onto him. That's what he said, like Shmuel, and that's why you shouldn't come close, and if it rubs up against you, then you're in danger of life, and similarly, regards if it bites you. V'lestakan, and he'll be in danger of life, therefore he should drink from this copper straw. As the Gemara says, ki ha de Abba Bamarta, that who Abba Bamanyumi, who he's really Abba Bamanyumi, avdele ime guvtsa de dehava, his mother made him a golden straw, and as the Bach brings the end of that girsa, umasi, and that he was healed. Now the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that said, void amir masir. Masir also said another halacha regarding exceptions of one's allowed to be machal Shabbos, is if someone's chash begreinai, he has a certain ailment in his throat, he's allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us that this ailment is called tzifdina, which Rabbi Yechna chash b'tzifdina, he had this throat ailment of tzifdina, which is a type of a ailment in one's teeth and in one's gums, which it starts in the mouth. However, it's an internal wound, which then it goes into one's intestines and it creates a danger to a person's life. So he once had this ailment. Also, gaba dahi matronisis. He went to this certain noblewoman who was a non-Jewess. Avdulei milsa chamsha umali shapsa. So she gave him this certain medication to do on Thursday and on Erev Shabbos on Friday. 2 days. Amalah b'Shabbos mai. So he asked her, what should I do on Shabbos to continue this medicine regimen? Amalei letzricha shed, you don't have to, you're healed. He asked, umas trachinamai. But let's say I do need it. What should I do in that situation? I'm going to be Shabbos, I'm going to be home, what should I do? So Amrle, she told him, Ishtabeli deloy megalis, swear to me that you're not going to reveal the secret of this medicine. So Ishtabeya lelakod the Yisrael lemeglina. So he swore an oath that to the God of the Jewish people, I'm not going to reveal it. So Nafik drasha bepirka. However, once she told him the secret of the medication, he went and he lectured this in his lecture to the public, and he told everyone what this was to heal oneself. But the Gemara asked, "Vosh tabela?" But he swore an oath. How could he have gone right after that and lectured to the public? So the Gemara says that one has to be medactic in the words that he said. He said, "Lelakod Yisrael loy megalina." If one is working in a technical framework, he says, "I'm not going to reveal it." He said, "I swear, lelakod Yisrael loy megalina. I swear." Although it sounds like I'm swearing to the God of the Jewish people, I'm not going to reveal it. One could also understand his words that I'm swearing that I'm not going to reveal it to the Jewish God. But I'm going to reveal it to his nation, the Jewish people. But then the Gemara asks, but there's a desecration of Hashem's name because she's going to think that he did violate his oath. She's not going to be such a lamdin to be able to understand that he was working within a different framework of what he meant to say. And therefore, how was he able to go ahead and lecture into the public? That the Gemara says, "Demegali la mekari." Right away, he told her, "You should just know. Although I made this oath, and therefore you told me the secret, I didn't really make an oath because if you think about the words I told you, I was saying I'm not going to tell God of the Jewish people, but I'm going to tell the Jewish people, and therefore there was no chil Hashem because she knew that he was right. That although he took an oath, it was not binding because of the way that he said it, and therefore there's no chil Hashem." Now the Gemara asks, "So my Abdilei, what did she do for him that healed him from this?" Tzvidana, which is this type of ailment in one's mouth, internal with his gums and with his teeth, which can be fatal to a person. So there's a few different opinions in the Gemara. Amar Rav Acha Berider of Ami, he says that it was meisa'ar, it was yeast water, shemen zayis, olive oil, umelech, and salt. Rav Yehima Amar, he says it was sa'ar gufa, it was yeast itself, and shemen zayis, umelech, and olive oil, and salt. And Rav Ashi Amar, he says it was mishchad de gadfa di avza. It was the fat of the marrow of a small bone at the tip of the wing of a goose, which she went and she smeared on his temples. That was what she did to heal him from this ailment in one's teeth and gums. Now, Abaya says, "Ana avdi lekulu v'lo yitzoy. I had this vidana, and I did all these different opinions to heal myself, and none of them helped. Ad amali ahutaya, until I met this Arab merchant, that Aisi kashyasa dezisa, who he told me, that bring the pits of olives, the leimolo tilsa that didn't grow a third yet, uklinu benura, burn it in fire, amorach adata on a new hoe, v'adbeik bekochei didare, and then attach it to the row of one's teeth, And Avdi Hachi Vetzoy, and I did this process, and then I was healed. Now the Gemara asks me, my Hava, what causes this ailment? So we don't know this disease with one's gums and teeth. What does it come from? So that the Gemara says, Michamimi Chamimi Dechiti. It's from very hot wheat, and that is when someone eats very hot bread, that causes it. And also Mishiyure Kasa Daharsina, when Kasa Daharsina, which is fish fried with flour in the oil, in the fats of the fish itself, when that's left overnight and the one eats that, that also, these two things cause this ailment in one's teeth and gums. Now the Gemara asks, Umay Simani, what are the symptoms of this ailment? How does one know if he has this, which then would allow one to be Mechal Shabbos, the way we said it, that if someone has this Vidanoi, it starts with one's teeth and one's gums, but it goes into the person's insides and it can be dangerous. So it's kadrami midi bukachi, when he puts something, whatever it is, by his teeth, va'asa dami mibeidari, and then there's blood that starts running out from the row of his teeth, then he knows that he has this disease, and then he'll have to take the proper precautions. Now, Rabbi Yechonin kichash b'tzvidane, so the Gemara says Rabbi Yechonin had this ailment, avet hachi b'shabbat b'tasi, he did this, the process that we said that heals it on Shabbos, and he was healed. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yechonin hecha avet hachi, how did Rabbi Yechonin do this? How could he do medicine, which is asur refu, on Shabbos? So Rabbi Nachman ben Yitzchak says, shani t'vidani, that this is different because hoyle maschul b'peh b'gom b'nimayim. Although it seems like it's just a superficial wound, that it's out there on the teeth, although it starts in the mouth, but it goes, it's related to the one's intestines, to the one's inside system, and therefore it is dangerous to a person if it doesn't take care of it, and it could be fatal, and that's why he was allowed to do it on Shabbos. Now, Amli Rav Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yechonin says, come on, who did Rabbi Yechonin do like that he was putting in this medicine on Shabbos because of this disease that he had in his teeth, which he was asking this noblewoman that if it's Shabbos, although you said I'm healed from taking the medicine on Thursday and Friday, but if I need to do it on Shabbos, what should I take? Sounds like that he would have taken this medicine on Shabbos. It sounds like he's going to curb Masi ben Charash, who he said in our Mishnah, the Amah HaChishish B'Piv, if someone has a problem, an ailment in his mouth, Matilin Leisam B'Shabbos, he's allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, but that sounds like that he's going like an individual, because our Mishnah has two opinions, that of this Das Yachid, so to speak, of Ramas Mecharsh, and then the Rabbana who argue on him. So why would Rabbi Yechonin follow the opinion of an individual and the Rabbana argue? So Malaysia said, Shani Oimer Bezu, because I say regarding this halacha, actually the Chum would agree that it is a full-fledged refuah, which is allowed to be done on Shabbos. V'loy b'acheres. It's only the other case of our Mishnah regarding the mad dog that we said that if it bites a person, that one's allowed to go ahead and use the liver lobe. That, what Rav Masi ben Charash had said, that's what the Chum argued on him and said, no, you're not allowed to do that. And the reason is because they didn't hold that this was a full-fledged refuah. It's one of these speculative type of healings, although doctors usually do that, and if you're not allowed to go ahead and eat a non-kosher animal for that. But regarding the other halacha that Rav Masi ben Charash said, regarding this case that we're talking about, if you have an ailment in your mouth, the Rabban did agree that it's considered a refuah, and hence, since it is a danger to a person's life, they would agree one can do it on Shabbos. And that the Gemara says, Lemisayeli, let's say the following brisa supports this idea. Because the brisa says, Misha achza yirokin, if someone has this disease of jaundice, where it's a disease where a person's face becomes pale, Mechil noisei basa chamar, we can give him a donkey's meat to eat. Misha noshachai kelev shaita, if someone has a mad dog bit him, Mechil noisei mechatzar kovich tulei, we could give him to eat from the liver lobe of the mad dog itself. So those two halachas were that we could feed a person non-kosher food because, again, it's danger to a person's life. And if someone has an ailment in his mouth, matin leisam b'Shabbos, we could put in medicine in his mouth on Shabbos. Divrei Masi ben Charash. Now the Chacham Oimrim, the Chacham who argue on him, they say be'elu ein behem mishum refuah. Regarding these, there is no element of refuah, and that therefore they're not going to be permitted. Now the diak is, and this is the proof, be'elu lum utemai. When they say with these, you're not allowed to. That's not healing. What is that coming to exclude? My love, the Mu'ute Sam, isn't that coming to exclude medicine? In other words, what the Chum were telling to Masa Bukharis were the first two halachas he spoke about, there, that's not considered refuah. Maybe that's speculative, and therefore, we're not allowed to go ahead and give you donkey meat. Why would donkey meat or liver lobe of the mad dog itself heal the person? That's not refuah. Maybe that's what some doctors do, and therefore, you're not allowed to do that to violate an issa deraisa of eating non-kosher food. However, regarding the last case of medicine, everyone agrees that the medicine is refuah. It's just a question if you'd be allowed to do that on Shabbos. So therefore, from the terminology that the Chacham say that be'elu em behem reshum refuah, that these things are not in the category of healing, of being scientifically proven medicine, that obviously is going in the first two cases. But the last case, which the Chacham would agree that it's refuah, it's just a question if you can do it on Shabbos or not. Obviously, they agree to that halacha. And therefore, my love lemu'utei sam, doesn't it sound like that we're excluding the case of medicine and that they would agree that they're not arguing on? It's only Eilu, the first two cases, that they're not medicine, that we argue. But the last one, they agree, and therefore it's not a difficulty under B'yechnon, because Rimasi Mecharish, actually, that what he says in our Mishnah, the Chacham do not argue on that. They only argue in the case of Chatzar Kavitchle, as we see from this Brisa, that sounds like they're only arguing on the case of the three cases that he says, the first two that they're saying it's not considered refuah. But the third case, which is a Shabbos question, they agree. I think Marcus is like, no, lemuute makizin dam lisroi noichi. What they're arguing about is regarding a case that they're arguing on all the three cases that he says, which would include even taking some on Shabbos for the ailment in one's mouth. What they are arguing is regarding letting blood on Shabbos, and that is when they said bi'elu, that these things are not included in refuah, is because they only heard about a different halacha that Rimas Mecharsha, which is not even in that brisa, which is regarding for some people would let blood for srinoichi, which is a type of an ailment called quinzi, which as Rashi says, a strangling is when there's a strangling of the throat. And regarding that, that is where they would agree to him that yes, that case, which you don't mention over here, that we would agree you're allowed to do on Shabbos. However, bi'elu was all these cases. And there was no raya from this brisa. Actually, we could say that he argues, the Chacham would argue on the case of if one has an ailment in one's teeth of taking Sama Shabbos. And therefore, again, the question is still on Rabbi Yechanan. Why did he follow a das of yachid of an individual, of Mas Mecharish, when the Rabbanan do argue on that case? Because as the Gemara says, Hachanam Mistaber, it makes sense to say that the Chacham do argue on the case of taking medicine on Shabbos for the ailment in the teeth, that it's not allowed. To tell like Linda Brisa. Again, these are the halachs of Masa Mecharish, that makiz and dam l'sreinoichi b'Shabbos, that you could let blood for a sreinoichi, which is this quinzi on Shabbos. Umish neshachei kelev shaita, and someone that has a mad dog bit him, mechil neisim mechatzer kovitch lo, your Masa Mecharish holds that you're allowed to feed him from its liver lobe, as he says in our Mishnah. V'achoshe b'piv, and someone that has an ailment in his mouth, matil neisam b'Shabbos, you could put medicine in his mouth on Shabbos. These things are not in the permission of doing refuah. Now, be'elu lemutimai. This is the Gemara wants to prove when he's saying in these things. What's that excluding? My love atarti basraisa. Isn't it coming to exclude the last two items? Ulemuti duration to exclude the first case, and that is the last two cases, which includes that of taking medicine on Shabbos. That's forbidden. The Chacham do argue on that. It's only when he says be'elu, and this one is coming to exclude the first one, which is l'sreinoichi, which that they would agree that that is permitted to be done on Shabbos. And therefore, you see that actually it is difficult on Yechon, because the Chacham do argue in Mas Mecharish in the halacha of permitting to take medicine on Shabbos for a tooth ailment. And then the Gemara says, it's not a raya. A tarti deresha kam yasa, you could really say that he's arguing on the first two, including quinzi, that would not be mutter. Ulamutu de safe and coming to the school. The last case, and maybe that they do agree regarding the case of if someone has a problem with this ailment in his teeth, and therefore it would be mutter. So therefore, there's no raya either way. So now the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis. So Tashema, the Gemara says, come in here, we'll prove regarding this question, which is related to if it's difficult in Rabbi Yechanan, regarding do the Rabbana argue in your Masa Mecharish regarding the case of if one has this Vidana, this type of ailment in his mouth and his gums, is it permitted to take medicine on Shabbos for that, or is it not? So come in here, we learn the Brisa of the Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Ubra Sheherecha, regarding the following cases, a pregnant woman that smells food, Machil Noisa Achatash of Nafsha. We said that even on Yom Kippur, we could give her to eat until she calms down. Umich Neshachi Kelev Shaita, and regarding someone that a mad dog bit him, Machil Noisa Machatzer Kavit Shaloi. Another heter of eating when it's forbidden is, or what's forbidden, is if a mad dog bites a person, we give him to eat from the liver lobe of the mad dog, which is a non kosher animal. Vachesha Bepiv, and someone that has an ailment in his mouth, Matin le sam b'Shabbos, we could put medicine in his mouth on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Elazar b'Yesi, sh'amim b'shem b'masim b'charash. Now, v'chom say, b'zu, in this one, we agree, v'loy b'acheres, and not in the other cases. Now, the Gemara asks, which this will conclusively prove, b'zu ahayi, when the Chum say, with this one, we agree, but not by the others, which case are they referring to? Now, there's three cases where Masim b'charash says, in this b'raisa. So, ilema uber, if you're going to say it's that they're saying we agree with the first case, which is the case of the pregnant woman that we allow to eat on Yom Kippur if she feels that she needs to, well, that's pshita, that's pretty obvious. In other words, as Rashi explains, you think that the case of the pregnant woman that smelled the food, it was Ramasya that was saying it? That was anonymously said. That first case of the three cases was not even part of Ramasya Maharsha's statement because ubrami kilamanda amadaloy, you think there's any opinion that says that a pregnant woman that feels like she needs to eat on Yom Kippur, that we don't allow her, that it has to be Ramasya Maharsha that's saying it, that the Chum agreed to him? It's not Ramasya Maharsha. That was anonymously said in the beginning of that Braisa, which everyone agrees to. So you're left with two cases, which are the case of Sam and the case of the mad dog bit him. Now, Elalava Sam. So it must be that when the Chum say we agree in this one and not on the other one, must be that they're saying we agree with the case of taking medicine on Shabbos for the tooth ailment, because if it was going on the other case of eating the liver lobe, that we agree, that can't be, because now Mishnah, we clearly say the Rabban argued Mas Mecharsh on that case, that one is not allowed to eat the liver lobe of the mad dog that bit him. So Mishmami, no, we could infer from this Braisa that the Chum do agree by the case of taking some for a tooth ailment, specifically the one that can cause, that could be lethal to the person, if he doesn't take that medicine on Shabbos, so Shemami, no, we can infer that it's not difficult on Rabbi Yochanan. Because why did Rabbi Yochanan go ahead and ask the nobleman what should he do if he has to take medicine on Shabbos? Sounds like he would have done it. It's because even the Chacham agreed to Masa Mecharesh, as we see clearly from this price that Rabbi Marshmul brings, that this is something that they would also consider there would be Sakanas Nefashis, and hence one's allowed to go ahead and take this medicine on Shabbos. Rav Ashi, he says, Masnit Namideke, he says that the Mishnah also happens to be precisely the way we're learning now, is that although we find machlikis in our Mishnah between your Masa Mecharesh, specifically by the mad dog, if you could eat the liver lobe or not, with the Rabban of our Mishnah, however, that they do agree regarding the other statement in our Mishnah of your Masa Mecharesh regarding taking Sam on Shabbos for this ailment in one's teeth, that there the Chum do agree and they don't argue. Because our Mishnah says as follows, V'oid Amr Masa Mecharesh, and moreover Masa Mecharesh says, after they quoted his statement that the Chum argued with him regarding the liver lobe of the mad dog, moreover, he says, if someone has an ailment in his mouth, matin leisam b'Shabbos, you could put medicine on Shabbos. Now, v'loy plig Rabban alav, on that statement, the Rabban do not argue him. Now, as the Gemara further proves, v'im isa de plig Rabban alav, if you would say that Rabban argue on that case too, then larvinu v'lisninu v'liflig Rabban m'seifa, then we should have mixed it together and said it in one big statement. Ramasi Machar should have said, liver lobe is permitted when a mad dog bites, and also one's allowed to take Sam on Shabbos medicine if he has ailment in his mouth. And the Chacham should have said that they argue, because we say that they argue regarding the first case. So just say it together, and then say that Rabban argue, which would have been going on both cases. Shema Mina, obviously that they do not argue in that case, and we only say they argue regarding the first case, but regarding the case of Sam b'Shabbos, for some that's Chayesh b'Piv, it's Mutter, and again, that's why it's not difficult on Rabbi Yechanan, because he wasn't going just like Ramasa Mecharesh, he was going even like Rabban. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, where it said that the reason why one's allowed to take this medicine on Shabbos for the tooth ailment is because it's a doubt of that it might cause danger to a person's life, and therefore that's Deicha Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks, Lomali Sula Meimed, why does the Mishnah have to continue saying, the next sentence says, V'chol Safik Nefashis Deicha Shabbos, and any doubt regarding the person's life pushes aside the Malachas, the Isra of doing Malach on Shabbos? We just said that. We just gave an example of Sam and Shabbos, that it might be Safek Nefesh, it's Deicha Shabbos, so why do you have to say another statement? And you know what? And every Safek Nefesh is Deicha. We obviously can understand that from the previous case. So I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. Rav Yehuda Merav says, the reason why the Mishnah says and repeats it again is to say an additional Chiddush, to tell you that Lois Safek Shabbos Zubul Vadamu. We didn't say only regarding a doubt of the person's life, that to stay alive for this Shabbos, Ila philosophic Shabbos Acheres, rather even a doubt regarding another Shabbos. And that is, even though it's obvious we know that he's going to live through the day today on Shabbos, he's not going to die, But it is a suffix to his nefesh that if we don't take care and give him the medicine or the healing process that we need to do for him today, he might die on a different Shabbos. Even so, we'll have to go ahead and heal him now, not for this Shabbos, but even for a different Shabbos. As the Gemara explains, hey, Chadami, how would this play out? So, could going dumb do it? For example, if let's say the doctors assess this person, this patient, that they have to do a type of medication, a certain healing regimen, letamanyu yoyme, for 8 days. The yoyme kaba shabsa, and the first day is Shabbos. So now, mao did tame liyakab ad l'urta, I would have thought to say that you should wait up until the evening, wait till matzah Shabbos. He's not dying today anyway. He's going to die maybe next Shabbos. And therefore, you should only start the regimen of being Mechal Shabbos by giving this medicine on, you should wait till Matzah Shabbos, so that we shouldn't violate two Shabbosim. You're going to have to take the healing, the medicine, the therapy, whatever it is, for 8 days. Now, if you're going to start today, you're going to Mechal two Shabbos. But it's not regarding this Shabbos, it's regarding a sakana of his nefesh, possibly for the next Shabbos, because he's going to live till then. So you would think, start only tonight, thereby you only Mechal one Shabbos. That's what the chiddush is, that any suffix nefashis, that there could be danger to a person's life, we given be mechal Shabbos now, even though it's not even a danger for his life right now, that allows us even to be mechal Shabbos now, even though it's going to be related to later, and we could even possibly wait till tonight, doesn't make a difference, any suffix nefashis to begin the process right now, we don't have to wait till Matzah Shabbos. The Gemara says, Tanah Hachoy, similar in the Braisa. Braisa tells us that mecham and cham and lochel b'Shabbos, we'll allow to heat up hot water for an ill person on Shabbos, whether to give him to drink that or whether to make him healthy by bathing him in that warm water. Now, we didn't say if he's considered ill, a danger to his life for this Shabbos itself, even if it's related for him living for a different Shabbos. And similarly, we don't say that we should wait. Maybe he's going to become well and he's going to heal by himself. Rather, we heat up the water right away. Because any suffix of nefesh, even of not an immediacy, but any danger to a person, possible danger to a person's life, that's the Shabbos. And below suffix Shabbos, not only a doubt of danger to his life on this Shabbos, elafila suffix Shabbos, even a doubt regarding a different Shabbos, again allows us to start that process today, and we don't have to wait till after Shabbos. Moreover, regarding these halachas of pekuach nefashos, the einoisim devarim halal, we do not do these life-saving measures. Lo yaladei nachor, not through non-Jews, v'lo yaladei ketoyim, and not even by ketoyim who on some level were some type of converts, ela alidei gedol Yisrael. Rather, we do it through the greatest Jewish people, the Rabbanim, the people that are the greatest. Those are the ones that should be doing the Chil Shabbos to save a person's life. As Tosfos says, even though it's possible to do it a non-Jew, and we usually try to do Chil Shabbos when we have to through a non-Jew, however, it's a positive commandment to do it through a Jewish person, because maybe the non-Jew is going to be slower and lazier than the Jewish person. He's not going to do it, and it's going to come to a danger of the Jewish person's life. Therefore, the Jewish person should go ahead, and he should do it himself, and not to have a non-Jew do it. We also don't decide these decisions to do these life-saving measures of Chil Shabbos, loyal pi nashim, not based on what women say, v'lo alpi kutayim, and not based on what kutayim say. And that is, if let's say a woman or a kuti would say you have to do this, we would not be mechal Shabbos based on what they're saying. However, we would combine them to other opinions that are debating whether we have to do this chil Shabbos to save the life or not. For example, if let's say there are two people who say you have to, and three say you don't have to, and the woman or the kuti say you have to, we would combine them to make it like a doubtful situation, which we would say suffik nefash l'hakel, we would combine them. However, we do not decide it based solely on the opinion of a woman or a kuti that says you have to go ahead and be mechal Shabbos. Now, related to these halachas about the necessity and the immediacy and the fact that even Jewish people should be mechal Shabbos, the Gemara brings the following braisa. Tarban Linda braisa. Mefakchen pikuach nefesh b'Shabbos. We are alert and we do whatever is necessary to save a person's life, anything to remove him from any doubtful of danger on Shabbos, and we're not concerned with Chil Shabbos of doing malachas on Shabbos if it's relating to a person's life. Moreover, the hazaras harez mishuluch, someone that does it the quickest, he's not afraid to turn on light, do things to be mechal Shabbos, he's praiseworthy. Vein tzarach litzel rishus mebezin, you don't have to go ask a shayla, you don't have to go ahead to bezin and ask and request, am I allowed to do this? Rather, you should go ahead right away and save the person's life. Now, how does this play out? What would be some cases like this? So the Bryce brings many different cases. For example, Let's say you see a child that falls into the ocean. You spread out a net and you bring him up. Although generally one's not allowed to do tzedah, trapping on Shabbos. You let him spread out a net and save him. And the one who does this the quickest, he's the most praiseworthy. Now, you also don't have to take permission from Beis Din. And even a chiddush. And even though when he's spreading out the net, he's catching fish together with saving the boy, it doesn't make a difference. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Like as Rashi says, as the Brice will say, many of these cases of afagaf, even though that you're going to be getting personal benefit from saving the child on Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference. Now, the reason why the Brice is saying this is because it's making inferences from an extra words that the Brice is saying. Because the Brice says, "Ve'ena tzarch litel rishus." You don't have to take permission from Beis Din. Now, the question that the Gemara is asking is, why did the Brice have to say that? It already said, "V'hazar zareiz meshubach." The one who does it quickest, he's the most praiseworthy. Now, of course, that means you just go straight away and save the person. Obviously, you're not going to ask a shayla from your Rav. So why does it say that? So that the Gemara is making all this diyukim, that obviously what the Tanna is coming to teach us is that even though your need, there's a benefit that you need from what you're going to be doing when you're saving the child, even so, that's what it's saying, you don't have to ask Beis Din. Because you might say, wait a second, maybe I cannot save him because maybe I'm going to be gaining benefit. It's like I'm doing it for myself, which is Chil HaShabbos. That's what the Gemara is being medayik when it brings all these cases that the Braisa mentions to say that even if you're going to be getting benefits, like in this case of spreading out the net and saving the child, you're a fisherman and you're going to be good as like you're going fishing that day and you're getting all your fish, doesn't make a difference. If it's regards to saving the boy's life, you're allowed to do it in spite of that. And that's what the Chiddush is saying, although it's said already by Haruzara's Reza Meshubach, it's saying that you don't have to go ahead and ask Rishus from Beis Din. Another case. Rod Tinik Shanafel Abar. If you see a child that fell into a pit, so oiker chulya, so you could remove the edge of that pit to make it that it's a narrower at the edge of the pit so that it's easier to get into the pit to save the child, umaleyu, and then you bring him up. V'hazaras harizim b'shubach, the one who does it quick, he's praiseworthy. V'inatzarach litra rishos mebezin, and you don't have to ask permission from mebezin. So again, the Gemara makes the diak, what is it saying that you don't have to take permission if obviously we say you do it right away? It's coming to say the following chiddush: the avagav the miskin darga. Even though you're fixing that, you're making a step for the pit which you like and you wanted, doesn't make a difference because since you're doing that in the process of saving the child, you're allowed to go ahead and do that. Another case: rosh ninu lo delis befnei tinik. If you see that a door closed and it's locked in front of a child, and the child is afraid, so shayver umaitzia, you could break the door and take the child out. V'hazar is raising meshubach, the one who does it quick, he's praiseworthy. V'ein tzarach lito rishos mebezin, you don't have to take permission from Beis Din. Again, the Gemara says, so what's the chiddush in saying you don't have to take permission from Beis Din if we said you do it right away? And that the Brice is teaching us, v'avagavter ko mechavel lemisvar b'shifi, even though you're intending to break it so that you can get the planks that you needed for something, or another pshat is that you would use the twigs that you're breaking from the door to kindle fire, to use it as type of a something related to a fire. So even so, that you're gaining from that and you would want that, it doesn't make a difference since you're doing that in the process of saving the child. You don't have to ask Beis Din and you go ahead and do it right away. Similar case is Mechav, and the person could extinguish Umafsikin, and he could interrupt. That is when, if he puts, for example, vessels made out of metal or earthenware vessels made out of water, Memnehad Leika B'Shabbos, to stop a fire of its path on Shabbos. And obviously we're talking about a fire that's a sakanas nafashas that could be danger to a person's life. It's not just a house that no one's inside of it, but that could be danger to people's lives. V'hazar zareiz meshubach, and the one who does it quick, he's praiseworthy. V'ein tzarach litra rishos mebezin, you never take permission from Beis Din to put out the fire. And what's that chiddush of v'ein tzarach litra rishos mebezin that the Tanna of the Braisa says? And that the Gemara says, v'avagav d'kom memachich mechuchi, even though when he's putting out the fire, he's pushing it down, and he's creating some type of a coals to then he could use it to roast on Matzah Shabbos. Doesn't make a difference. He's still allowed to go ahead and do that because he's doing that in the process of saving people's lives, even though it's going to be a benefit for him. Now the Gemara says with Tzvicha, we said in each case, a chiddush, why it says that you don't have to ask Beis Din, but why do we have to say all these cases of saving a child or putting out a fire? What was the necessity? We said, suffering the fashas, you give him Chal Shabbos. So that the Gemara says with Tzvicha, we had to say all the different cases. The Yashmi Inan Yom, had we said the case of saving the boy from the ocean, Mishum Da Dehachi Vahachi, because by the time you're going to go to Beis Din and ask a Shaila, ask a question, if you're allowed to save the child, Azulei, the child's going to be swept away by the ocean, he's going to be killed. But regarding the child's in the pit, I would say no, even though it's dangerous to the child's life, to his well-being by leaving him there. But I would say that he's still going to stay there. The ocean's not going to sweep him away. Maybe they would have to ask a shayla before I go ahead and save him. Tzricha, that's why we have to say that no, you don't ask any questions. It's a danger to the child's life. You go ahead and you do it right away. Vyashmi Nabar, had we said the case of the pit, I would have thought to say that there you don't have to ask any questions, you go ahead and you save his life. Mashum dekomivis, because he's frightened, which could be dangerous to his life. Of aninala deles, but when the door closes in front of the child, efshad the yasaba haigisa, it's possible for him to sit on one side, umishabishli bamguzi, and keep him busy and distract him by playing some games with him by rolling around a nut. So I would think maybe over there that you can't just break the door down b'machal Shabbos. You would first have to ask a shayla because you could distract the child. Tzricha, that's why I have to tell you that even so that you could distract him, it's still dangerous to the child's well-being by this fear, this frightening that he's locked in the room. And therefore, you don't have to ask any questions. It's sakonis nefashis. You break the door down and you save the person. Now the next case the Braisa brought was mechabenu mafsikin, that you could extinguish or block the path of the fire by putting vessels, either the metal or the earthenware with water in it, to block the path of the fire. Another Gemara says, Lamali, why was that case necessary? Again, it's sakonis nefashis, and therefore, of course, you can be mechal Shabbos. Another Gemara says, that filochatza acheres, the chiddush was that even though it's suffering nefashis for a different courtyard, and that is, the fire that was in this courtyard had no people there. It was in the other courtyard that had elderly people, sick people, minors, which would have been dangerous to their life. The chiddush is that you could put out a fire over here that could cause a danger to other people's lives in a different courtyard. Nothing more continues regarding this topic of suffering nefashis. Amrav Yosef, Amrav Yehuda, Amrav Shmuel. He says, Loi holchu b'pikuach nefesh acharoiv. Although generally we follow halachas of roiva majority, regarding the halachas of pikuach nefesh, of avoiding all doubt to a person's life, there we don't go after the majority. And that is, if let's say we're not sure if the person that's in danger, if it's a kuti or if it's a Jew, doesn't make a difference. We will clear off the rubble to save that person's life. Even if the majority were kutim, we're still not taking any chances and will be mechal Shabbos even if the majority is that it's not a Jewish person. Now the Gemara clarifies and says, Hechidami, what is the case that we're talking about? If it's talking about that there are nine Jews and there's one kuti amongst the nine Jews, and then a pile of rubble falls on one of them, and you don't know if it's a Jew or if it's a kuti, what do you mean? Rubi Yisrael, and that's a majority of them are Jewish people. Of course, then you're going to Michal Shabbos, because even if you were to go after Rav, you would still save the Jewish person. So Ela Palga Palga, we're going to say that half are Jews and half are kutim, still suffering nefesh l'hakol, that's still a doubt, and we know that a doubt by a person's life, you go leniently. Ela de'ika tisha kutiyim v'Yisrael echad. Rather, the case that he's talking about is that there are nine kutiyim, and there's only one Jew. Now, the chiddush of Shmuel is that although generally we go after the majority, and the majority are kutiyim, still we're going to be concerned that maybe that one person is a Jew, and therefore we're going to clear off the rubble of that one person. We'll be on Chal Shabbos for that person. Now, not the Gemara asks, Hanami Peshitta, but that's also obvious that in that scenario we just described, that you would be Mechal Shabbos and save that person's life. Because the Havali Kavua, the situation is where they are where they were, which means they're established in their place. And we know the Klal and Halacha is that even no matter what the metrics are, but V'chol Kavua, Kamechza Mechza Dami, whenever you have that the people or the items that, let's say it's nine stores selling non-kosher and one selling kosher, it doesn't make a difference, or nine kosher, one non-kosher, when they're where they always were, where they're established, the halacha will always be that it's a 50-50 chance that whatever that object is, that's the kosher or non-kosher, or in this case, that's the Jew or the non-Jew, so it's kemechza mechzism, it's like 50-50, so therefore you're back to the 50-50 equation, which is your classic suffering nefashis, it's a regular doubt, and of course we're going to go l'hakol. What's the chiddush of Shmuel, that we're not going after Rav, but in this case, anyways, doesn't qualify for the halachas of Rav because we go after Kavua, which is in the case that we're talking about, it's Mechza Mechza. And therefore, even if there's nine Kutayim and one Jew, it will still be qualifying as 50-50. And of course, they're going to be Mechal Shabbos. Now, the Gemara says, Loi Tzricha, the Parish Lochatra Acheres. We're talking about that this group of people, the nine Kutayim and the one Jew, they went to another courtyard. And in that other courtyard is where the building collapsed and the pile of rubble is on one of them. Where generally we say, call the parish Meruba Parish, then in such a case we say that whatever separated from that group was separating from the majority, and when it's something that it was in movement, it wasn't where it always was. Therefore, Mao de Tema called the Parsh Meruba Parsh. I would have thought to say in such a case, where let's say you have in one courtyard, there's nine Kutayim and one Jew. Now there are people that come from that courtyard to another courtyard. And therefore, I would say that whoever it is that it fell on from the majority of the people. And therefore, I would say that it was coming, that the Kuti is the one that the building collapsed on. And therefore, I would not be Mechal Shabbos to say that maybe it was the Jew. That's what the Chiddush HaShmuel is. Regarding the halachas of Bekuach Nefashas, we don't go after the majority. Because although over here we're talking about that they separated and they were all in movement, which that's that we do go after the Rive, because that's Parish, it's not in where it's Kavu, where it was always established. And therefore I would say that we would go after the Rive. That's the Chiddush, that even in such a case, we won't go after the Rive. We will still suspect that maybe it is that one Jew, and we'll be Mechal Shabbos to dig up the rubble to save that person on the tzad, then maybe he's a Jew. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so? But Va'amr, Abasir, Rabbi Yechanan, he says clearly, Tishu Kutayim v'Yisrael Echad, if there's nine Kutayim and one Jew, so then Po'isa Chatzim Afakin, yes, in that same courtyard where they always live, then you'll dig up that collapsed building to dig up the rubble, because that's, you're right, called Kavu, Kamef Samasim, in their own courtyard, it's a 50-50 chance no matter how many Kutayim and how many Jews. But Rabbi Yechanan says clearly, in another courtyard, you don't dig up, you don't go ahead and save that person, as we said, because that's based on the concept of called the Parsh, Meruba Parsh, and it seems like we do go after the halachas of Roiv, even regarding Pekuch Nefashis, not like what Shmuel said. And that the Gemara answers, Loikash, it's not difficult, because Ha, the case of Shmuel, was the Parsh Kulu. Everybody went from that courtyard. All 10 people, the 9 Kutayim and the 1 Jew, they all went, and they went to the other courtyard. Now, since we know for a fact what's called Muchzik, it's established as a fact that that Jew from that other courtyard, that he came into this other courtyard where the pile of rubble fell. Now, although their movement, they're not Kavu, where they always were, that's what Shmuel's Chiddush is, that in such a case, we're not going to go after the Rav, because we know the Jew was here. And therefore, we will suspect that maybe it's the Jew. And that's why he says they're not going to go after the Rav. Ha, the case of Rabbi Yechanan says when they're coming to another courtyard that we will go after the Rav, and we will not dig up the pile of rubble that maybe it's that one Jew, was talking about the Parish Miktsasayu, that only some of the people from that other courtyard, those 10 people, the one Jew and the 9 Kutayim, some of them came to this other courtyard, not all of them. Therefore, we don't even know if the Jew ever even came into this new courtyard. That is what Rabbi Yechanan said. Then we're going to go after the Rav. And the reason is because then you have two things working, saying it's not the Jew. First of all, we never have an established fact that the Jew ever came into this courtyard. And moreover, it's Parish, which is, you go Meruba Parish, which we say that generally it's from the Rav, which are the 9 Kutayim, not the 1 Jew. And that's why it's not a difficult, it's not Rabbi Yechanan contradicting Shmuel, because although Shmuel said that by suffering the fascists, we're not going to go after the Rav, that's if all of them came over here. Now, all of them came over here, so we know the Jew was definitely here. We're just not sure that this building collapsed on them or not. Then we're not going to go after the Rav, although generally we say called the Parish, Meruba Parish. Rabbi Yechanan, who says that we will go after the Rav, and we, if it's one person, we're going to say it's probably the Kuti, we're not going to dig it up in Mechal Shabbos, that was only in talking about a case when only some of them came from the other one. So therefore, since we don't know for a fact that the Jew is here, and moreover, it's called the Parish, Meruba Parish, we're going to assume that it's from the Kutayim, and therefore we're not going to be able to Mechal Shabbos for that one person on the Tzad, that maybe it's that Jewish person.